Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. It is a Sunday evening, which means I am joined by you guys to answer your guys' iTunes mailbag questions. Thank you guys for sending them in as the way that you do. We have a ton to get to. I feel like I'm saying this more and more every single week, but you guys really came out in droves this past week. Fortunately, Pete and I were... if Pete and I wouldn't have answered the questions that we did in this past week's episode, I think it was on Wednesday's episode, I don't know if I'd be able to get to all of them this week. So thank you guys for those of you who are sending positive vibes and questions and five-star reviews. That helps keep the lights on. Lights being the... My light stand just tipped over on me. So I'm still alive. I did not get electrocuted by my own studio in here. So today's show, though, I'm going to answer all of the questions I can get to. I promise I'm going to try to get to every single one of them. And if I don't, I will carry them over into a conversation that I have with Pete later on Tuesday. So no time to really dawdle around here. Let's get to the very first question here. This comes from, I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. But basically, they ask, with the Celtics looking like the Lakers' greatest competition for AD, what do you believe the chances are we push for a trade this year? They then threw together a hypothetical trade, a three-way trade, and stuff like that. Three-way trades are tough. I don't really like to get into three-way trades too much because at that point you're dealing with multiple executives who are all trying to make their team better or their situation better. And it's really rare that three-team trades get predicted in the same way that two-team trades are a little bit more predictable. But to answer the larger point of the question here, it's basically to the point that you're making, should the Lakers try to trade for Anthony Davis before the Celtics can get involved? I would say this. If it benefits the Lakers to make an Anthony Davis trade before the Celtics can get involved, doesn't it therefore benefit the New Orleans Pelicans to wait for the Celtics to be able to get involved? And because it does, it was a stupid hypothetical question on my point. Because it does, the Lakers, unless something crazy happens, like Anthony Davis needs to come out and specifically demand not only to be traded this year, but to be traded as soon as possible and start holding out and make the situation as dire as possible for the New Orleans Pelicans. And even there, like if he mentions the Lakers, right, Del Demps and the Benson family are not going to, the Benson family who owns the New Orleans Pelicans and also the New Orleans Saints, like they are not going to want to send Anthony Davis to a team that half of the league is already thinking might be tampering by way of LeBron James with Anthony Davis, right? So I the more and more I think about this, and I want to be optimistic about it, right? The more and more I think about it, it's just there are so many bumps in the road and speed bumps and red tape and stop signs and yield signs. It's a very complicated route that gets Anthony Davis to the Lakers. And because of that, I think it's fair to start wondering because of the direction that the season is going in right now where the Lakers don't seem to be all that thrilled about playing basketball together. Maybe it makes sense to make a smaller trade and just try to shuffle the cards a little bit. So we'll see. But in terms of just the Lakers and Anthony Davis right now, I've said this a few times on the show. I would be patient. I would be patient on this front. We are still two or three developments away from Anthony Davis being a legitimate option for the Lakers. The next couple questions that are on the list here, we answered in last Wednesday's show. One was about Lonzo Ball and taking advantage of his size. Another one was about whether the young core is being underutilized as a whole or just in general. We answered both of those with Pete. That was a really fun conversation that we had. So go back and check out that one. The most, I think, relevant conversation that Pete and I have, or not just relevant to what's going on right now, but the most, I think, productive conversation that Pete and I have ever had was this past Friday show where we talked about the Lakers organizationally. I saw on anytime my Reddit, my name comes up on Reddit, it's a little nerve-wracking because for the most part, those guys and girls over there hate me. But you know, I had a tweet thread talking about the Lakers organizationally. Pete and I had the conversation that we had about the Lakers organizationally. You should check out that last episode for some of our concerns about the Lakers. And you know, it's not just crying into the wind. It's legitimate concerns about an organization that isn't running as efficiently or using all of the resources that it should be. I'm going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to keep answering your guys' questions. I'm just going to take a quick second, and we'll come back and answer your questions. So this next question is about the other show that I do with Harrison. Technically speaking, I'm not really supposed to talk about it, but I don't really consider other Lakers shows competition so much as just different shows out there. But Harrison and I host a weekly show on Tuesdays for Silver Screen and Roll. You guys should check that out. We have some fun shows getting ready for you guys there. And then every so often, Harrison will hop on this one, as he will, I believe, this week. So check him out for tomorrow's show. Next question here comes from Calbo 248. Hey, Anthony, I'm a huge fan of the show. It became part of my daily routine. Thanks, man. You and Harrison are hilarious. You're lying. My question is, how many rivals do you think the Lakers have? I think it goes 1 Celtics, 2 Clippers, 3 Spurs, 4 Sacramento, 5 Portland, 6 Denver, and 7 maybe Golden State because of the whole NorCal, SoCal thing. Can you think of any others? Sorry for the long question. You're awesome. Thanks, man. Rivalry is tough because it has to involve some sort of success against each other. So, like, that's why I don't consider the Clippers a rival, because I don't think they've ever won a playoff series against the Lakers. They very rarely met, and I don't think they've really hardly ever met in a playoff series. But because of that, the Clippers haven't really won a playoff series against the Lakers. So in terms of teams that I consider legitimate rivals, obviously Boston, because of all of the finals matchups. San Antonio is on that list. Sacramento is a little less so because I'm pretty sure the Lakers swept them, have swept them historically in the playoffs. Portland, same kind of grouping as Sacramento. Golden State is an interesting one. The Lakers and Golden State haven't really met that often, if ever, in the playoffs. But there is the whole NorCal-SoCal thing, and there's the Giants and Dodgers rivalry, and there's a lot of crossover between those fan bases. But beyond that, there isn't very many teams out there that I really consider the Lakers rivals, right? So I'm really picky with this stuff. There are some teams out there that I legitimately hate. And it's pretty much just the Celtics and San Antonio Spurs. That's it. When the Sacramento Kings beat the Lakers on that Bogdanovich's shot, you know, that step back going to his right, I found myself, like, oddly, for lack of a better term, happy for Sacramento Kings fans, just because it's like they're so bad and they've gone through so many awful situations with their ownership and with team executives and coaches and stuff and players that haven't worked out, that, like, that moment, I'll give you that moment. We the Lakers just happen to have had those moments when they actually mattered. Next question here comes from Captain Matt 8. Hey, Anthony, I was wondering if, worst case scenario, if the Lakers strike out in free agency and landing a star player and don't get AD, do you think Magic and Rob will aggressively pursue a trade for Dame, Beal, or another star to get LeBron, or will they keep the young core intact? Man, that's tough. The problem with trading a bunch of the young core for a player not named Anthony Davis is that you are trading a lot of guys for non-franchise transformational players. And considering the stage of LeBron's career, like we just saw it, he will have wound up missing about 10 games this year from simply slipping, right? And I felt like that was a bit of an ominous warning of, yeah, this is the stage of career that LeBron is heading into. And because of that, if the Lakers are going to surround him with a superstar, it's going to have to be somebody who can step into the number one role even on a LeBron James team, just because father time comes for all. And it's a little, it makes me a little nervous. And that's why like Anthony Davis is a perfect fit for that kind of situation, because as LeBron kind of slips into the next phase of his career, Anthony Davis will be entering his like absolute peak of his powers. And it makes a ton of sense. Whereas guys like Dame and CJ McCollum, they might be at or near their peak already. And their peak was nice, like nice all-star, right? Like really, really good player, but not franchise transformational. Next question here comes from Woodshack Zach. Wagner hasn't played at all and has almost been a waste of a first-round pick. Bonga is tearing up the G League. Zubats is on and off. Thoughts and predictions on the futures of these three players. Well, we saw Wagner finally play against Minnesota. I didn't think the fact that Wagner wasn't getting any playing time despite the crazy, dire situation the Lakers were in injury-wise was getting enough pub. And I tweeted that out, and I still kind of sort of feel that way. I want to see Wagner in at least somewhat meaningful minutes. He was still in prolonged garbage time against Minnesota, seeing as the starters came out and got blown out immediately. So I want to see more of, I want to see Mo Wagner. In terms of Bonga and Zubats, they're both question marks right now. And given, here's the thing, you have LeBron James on your team. You don't have time to figure out projects. And Bonga might have shown, it has been very good for the majority of his time in the G League, and Zubats has shown flashes that maybe he wasn't a complete waste of a roster spot. But for the most part, like when you have a guy like LeBron on your team, you're vying for a championship. You don't have time to figure out, hey, is this 18-year-old ever going to figure it out? Hey, is this big man who may not fit in the NBA, in the modern NBA period, should we wait and see if that guy can figure it out? Like the Lakers need to start answering actual questions. And unfortunately, so far, the only questions that they're answering are to the negative, right? Like Brandon Ingram so far hasn't fit with LeBron James. Like that's a legitimate concern. And if you were to ask that question, if you were to force me to answer that question, I would probably say, no, man, he probably doesn't fit with him. Right? Is Lonzo Ball going to take a step forward this year? I'd say, no, man, not so far. He's had really good games, but for the most part, he's very much the same player. And that's kind of the situation that the Lakers are in right now. I'll answer one more, and we will head into the break. This is from Archie TJ Laker. Hey, guys, love the show and love the way you do it. Short and sweet. Thanks, man. Hope you read my question. Doing it right now. So how do you guys think LeBron will react to the Lakers potentially striking out in free agency again this summer? The AD possibility would be nice, but as you have said, it seems other teams have a hard on for screwing the Lakers over or asking for half the team every time they want to trade a player and basically give them up for less or equal value to another just despite the player and the team that they want. Thanks and saludos from Tijuana, Baja California. Cheers. If the Lakers strike out in free agents, I don't see a situation where like LeBron forces his way out of the Lakers. I think he has too much respect for Magic. He wants to follow in Magic's footsteps, right? And if you're going to follow in Magic Johnson's footsteps, you probably don't want to piss off Magic Johnson. That's a general piece of insight for anybody trying to make it in any industry. Don't piss off the people who can help you make it. So I don't think LeBron will ever force his way out. But I do think that the Lakers will make some, you know, some type of trade or something like that, just so it looks like that they're doing something for him. Whether that's a knee-jerk reaction or whatever, I just don't see a situation where the Lakers walk away with nobody this upcoming offseason, whether it's in free agency or in trades. The big question, though, is, you know, how much value do the kids have that they would be looking to move in those trade scenarios? Fortunately, they have a lot of picks, their own picks, that they can offer in those kinds of trade talks. Next review. Oh, somebody feels bad for Pete. I wouldn't. Next question for, or this comes, oh, I'm going to take a quick second here and come back and answer this next question. If things do work out for the Lakers, what would the depth, how would they fill out depth and why it means a lot for the Lakers to actually succeed in their goals? All right, so this next question comes from Davin112. Big question time. If the Lakers acquire AD, I don't know if it's AD and Kawhi or and or Kawhi, whatever. What would the starting lineup or bench or add? You know, how would they fill out their roster? The question was a little jumbled. So, basically, what happens when you acquire multiple superstars is you find a lot of veterans that are at or near the end of their career who want to just play in big playoff series or put the cherry on the sundae that was their NBA career, and they're willing to take less, right, to play in that kind of situation. So I think that'll go a long way in filling out the roster. And again, this is why it's so important that pieces of the Lakers' young core figure it out long term, is because that's how you go above and beyond the salary cap, that by utilizing bird rights and utilizing homegrown players and homegrown talent. That's how you go above and beyond the salary cap, so that you can continue to maintain a caliber of roster that goes beyond just your superstar talent, and also have the ability to grow your roster as those younger guys develop, right? So that's why, you know, when you see people frustrated about Brandon Ingram stagnating in his growth, or Lonzo Ball stagnating in his growth, or Josh Hart or Kyle Kuzma stagnating in their growth, it's not just, I want to see that player continue to grow. It's also, the Lakers need those guys to be able to continue to grow so that they can grow into larger roles in playoff teams and be able to re-sign them for the foreseeable future and go above the salary cap to do so. I hope that makes sense. Next question here comes from McNugget2483. With reports coming out that Jimmy Butler is causing trouble in the Sixers locker room, does it increase the chances he leaves and becomes a free agent this summer? They go on to ask if it makes sense for the Lakers to sign Jimmy Butler. I have been at the forefront of the Jimmy Butler isn't worth the headache, bandwagon. I am thoroughly on we don't like Jimmy Butler Island. Here's the thing. I think he's a very good player. I think his attitude comes from a place where he had to have that kind of attitude to succeed in the way that he has in the NBA in his career, right? All that said, that attitude isn't going to age well. We're already seeing it right now. He's on team number 3, where he has ruffled. He's 3 for 3. In every situation he's been in, he's ruffled feathers and got people to not like him. Rajon Rondo was popular in Chicago in large part because the kids went to him whenever Jimmy Butler did Jimmy Butler type of stuff. And if Rajon Rondo is seen as the good guy in a situation, the other guy might really be bad, right? And Jimmy Butler now is he's not going. His game isn't going to age well in the NBA. His attitude isn't going to age well in the NBA. He's not going to have any kind of self-awareness as he ages. Like, he's heading towards mellow territory. That's where I think this ends. And you got to ask yourself, would you ever want the Lakers to have any kind of association with Carmelo Anthony? And the answer in most cases is no, you do not. Next question here comes from Semperfi22. Hey there, third time asking a question. Thanks, man. Do you think the Lakers have missed the window to trade Ingram? I do not. He's young enough that some team will convince themselves that they can revitalize his career. And to be fair to that team that thinks that, I actually think so too. Like, a change in scenery is going to be really important for Ingram. I just don't think, and I wrote this on Twitter, and I've said this a bunch of times over the course of my time having whatever platform I've had, I just don't believe in the Lakers organization developing any type of young talent. They don't have the pieces in place. They don't seem to care about hiring the right kinds of pieces to develop those guys. The organization is a poor organization right now. They run themselves like a poor organization. And until that changes, I think the Lakers are probably better off investing in the types of players that don't require a good organization to figure things out. Next question. This is from Saul the Kid. A few more here. Let's see. Yeah, a few more. How much of Lonzo's struggles can we put on his issues in his personal life? This is a good question. How much of Lonzo's struggles can we put on issues in his personal life? Because let's all remember, he's only 21, has a newborn baby. The baby's mother pretty much called him a deadbeat on social media. That's actually true. You can Google it. Plus, he's being consistently criticized for the team not winning, even though we're missing three important players. P.S. Not saying it's an excuse, but maybe an explanation to why he's inconsistent. So his inconsistencies pretty much all boil down to age and maturity. Even by 21-year-old in the NBA standards, he's immature. That's just what it is. That said, having a newborn, like, it's terrifying. By every single account that you've ever heard, it's terrifying. You lose sleep. It's hard for you to figure these things out. Even if you're a millionaire and you can afford any kind of support that you might need, at the end of the day, that is still your child. And if you care at all about that child, your life is forever changed. And for those who there are some people out there who have charted production in years where they either have their first kid or have twins or whatever, and production seems to wane a little bit. So it's an interesting, I'm not going to use it as an excuse either, but it's an interesting theory to potentially explain what might be going on there. That's a good question, Saul. Next question here comes from friend of the show, QBreezy12. If an AD trade doesn't materialize over the summer, do you see the front office willing to make a financial commitment to BI in an extension? I'm curious of both your opinions, but if only Anthony can answer, it's fine. I'll bring this up with Pete and see what he thinks about it. But I don't think, I'll put it this way, it would be a failed, it would be deemed a failure if the major acquisition beyond LeBron James was re-signing Brandon Ingram. That would be almost outright failure. When you consider everything that the Lakers have done to open up cap space, that would be an outright failure. Next question here from Laker Nation Forever. Hey, Anthony, big fan of the show. My question is a two-parter. With the deadline coming up, do you think it's time to maybe start considering to trade Brandon Ingram? Also, what would you think would be a fair trade to possibly trade for Bradley Beal? Well, there was a report that said that the Washington Wizards are looking for two first-round draft picks, a high-end young asset, and then another young asset on top of that. So based on that, it would be like Ingram, maybe Hart. I mean, it depends on how they feel about Zubats, but they just got Thomas Bryant from the Lakers for nothing, so I don't think they'd be interested in Zubats. So it's probably Ingram or Lonzo plus Kuzma or Hart plus two first-round picks. Now, that's a negotiating tactic. That's where the starting point of the conversation would be on Washington's part. We'll see how far down from that they come. But at least that's a foundational piece of information on where their minds might be right now. In terms of trading it, Brandon Ingram, that's been the biggest bummer, I think, of the time where LeBron James has been out, is a lot of the young guys who claimed that they were ready to carry the mantle, or that this wasn't just LeBron James and a bunch of other guys, like, we're finding out it actually kind of sort of was LeBron James and a bunch of other guys. This hasn't been a difficult stretch of the schedule. They lost to a bad Knicks team that had lost twice in their last five games by at least 25 points. They got blown out by a Minnesota team that wound up firing their coach hours afterward. If you had a key piece to your roster or your organization, and you were getting ready to trade it, and the Lakers said, "Hey, we'll give you a couple of our young guys," like, even if you were just doing so as a negotiating tactic, wouldn't you say, "Wait, what am I actually getting in return here?" And that's how NBA teams operate. This isn't NBA 2K where you can force whatever trade you want through. These are legitimately smart NBA executives who are going to use any and every piece of leverage that they possibly can. And it's going to be tough for the Lakers to move these guys right now, given how disappointing a stretch that the Lakers are currently on. Last question here. It's a long one, and so I'll read as much of it as I can. This is from I'm Drew. It's about Harrison and me recording for the first time again, and the chemistry that, look, man, Harrison is one of my closest, no, not one of, Harrison is my closest friend, borderline younger brother in this industry. There's natural chemistry because we had been doing this for 3 years. That's always going to be the case. Pete and I are working to build that, and we have. I think we have gotten better as the season has gone along. But when Harrison and I get together, it is more of the show that a lot of you guys fell in love with. And that said, though, without change, progress is impossible. And I hope that the evolution of the show this year and in the years to come is something that you guys remain interested in. It's been a hell of a ride to this point. I love getting together and talking with Harrison whenever I possibly can. And hopefully one day we can Harrison, Pete, and I can all get together and have a show together. That situation just hasn't arisen to this point. So that's what's going on. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about I was surprised I didn't get any questions about Luke Walton. And I would imagine if I were to check the iTunes reviews tomorrow, I'll get a few of those as well. But regarding Luke Walton, I still think it would be a mistake for Magic Johnson to fire Luke Walton. Mostly because there just aren't very many candidates out there that I believe are objective upgrades over Luke Walton. That said, some tweaks need to be made to the way this team is run right now. I think the coaching staff is a disaster. I just don't believe in the assistant coaching staff. It's a bunch of Luke Walton's college buddies or guys that he played with in the NBA, and they're not good. They're just not very good. We are more than midway through the season right now, and the offense that the Lakers are running right now is supposedly still a work in progress, and to a certain extent, I kind of sort of get it, right? Like, guys have missed time. This is a roster that came together for the vast majority for the first time this last summer. So there are explanations as to why the offense is still as remedial as it currently is, but at some point, like, you can't continue to hope that things are just going to fix themselves. And for right now, I don't believe in a direction that the Lakers are going in. Even while I know that things are going to get better when LeBron James gets back, and the Lakers were a pretty good team before he went down. Like, I was hoping when LeBron went down to find out that the Lakers aren't just another LeBron James organization, right? Where it's this team will only go so far as LeBron can take them. And what I have found out in resounding manner, really, is that that's the case right now. Maybe things change over the course of the next month heading into the trade deadline. Maybe we learn some new things about the guys. Maybe guys really take a long, hard look in the mirror, whatever. But for right now, I think the Lakers need to hire an offensive tactician to help put some kind of repeatable system in place. They need a shooting coach. It's ridiculous that they don't have one. They need an analytics department that they're willing to brag about, right? Like, the fact that they aren't out there at every single turn and that we don't know how great an analytics department that they have. Like, think about their scouting department, right? Their draft scouting department. We hear at every single turn how great those guys are. It's for a reason. You brag about things that you're proud about, that you're proud of. And they aren't proud of their analytics department, or else we would hear more about them, right? And we don't. So these are changes that I think the Lakers actually really needed to address. And until they do, they're just going to be another LeBron James organization, just with more resources at their disposal that at this point right now aren't being utilized. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Tomorrow we'll have a fun show for you guys as we get ready for tomorrow and heading into this next week. We'll see how this Luke Walton situation turns out. As of right now, the reports are from Ramona Shelburne, who is closely tied to Jeannie Buss, that the Lakers are not getting ready to fire Luke Walton. So that tells me that Jeannie is still standing firm on Luke Walton Island. But at some point, some changes need to happen. And you know, I hope that those changes aren't so big that they throw off whatever momentum the Lakers had heading into these last injuries. So we'll see how that goes. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody's day. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.